I learned during the break two things. Number one, that the panhandle of Idaho, which is in the Pacific time while the rest of the state is in mountain time, is also very much a cult haven. A cult is like witches. Cult. Yes, I know you said a cult.
Right, but if you say it, though, if you just cut off, if you say it the way a cult is said, then you'll be saying cult, right? Not cult.
It's a cult haven.
That's what you have to do, man. You know, that's a, you know, sometimes in order for me to pronounce things, I got to go into a different dialect.
It is a very popular area of the country, and I don't know why. And I am going to be going down the deepest rabbit hole today about the Idaho Panhandle, because apparently it's a very weird place.
Are you looking forward to joining a cult?
No.
Okay.
We learned during
a couple around here. One has to do with mayonnaise.
We learned during the last segment that Boise State University, actually, I want to make sure, because I actually don't know where in Idaho Boise is. Boise State.
We're pretty sure it's in Idaho, though. So, yeah.
Boise State. All right. So, Boise State's in Mountain Time. Boise State's in Mountain Time because it's in the part of the state where people live.
Who do they play mostly, though?
Oh, I mean, teams out west.
Right, okay.
But forget all that. This isn't the part. I don't care about okay. I don't care about right. the time zone Boise right. State's in. The state of Idaho is like a regular shaped main part of the state, and then it has a chimney. It has a panhandle that goes north up to the Canadian border. The little face on the side of Montana cuts into the Idaho panhandle, all right? And the time zone change runs in this jagged little way through the middle of the state and through the middle of a county. There is a county in Idaho that is half in Pacific time and half in mountain time. So I assume there's like a river there and they split the state and the time zone on that river. But why? I don't know. Because they could just move all of Idaho into one time zone and have the border with Washington and Oregon be the time zone shift. Nope. There's like a pocket up north. So then I started trying to figure that out. And found out that the northern portion of Idaho, the panhandle, is a big cult area. A lot of religious cults up there. And then I found out via and then I found out via Chris and Lonzo that apparently you can add cult to the alarm list of words that Rob can't pronounce correctly despite being a radio professional.
I do enjoy the fact that you're okay when you and he tag team me, but when it's me and him tag teaming you, it seems to affect you.
It has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do. I don't need to run to a state of perpetual victimhood here.
Enunciation is your lie.
It has everything to do with every job I do is a words job, and now I'm being told by two people that I respect that I can't words good.
Yeah, you job,
and I don't
you
love j- that.
You job to me all the time.
I don't love that. So now I know two things. Number one, the panhandle of Idaho, if you want to start a religious cult, is where you need to go to do so. Apparently, the area is very friendly to cults and also a very beautiful part of the country from what I'm reading.
If you're going to start a cult, you probably should go somewhere that's pretty. You don't want to, although I guess people are downtrodden like perpetually in snow or something. Maybe it's easier to get them. But I if you want to bring people to your cult, you probably want to be in a good place where you can go come to paradise.
I'm also going to assume that, like,
not that I've ever been a cult leader or been associated with, but I did play Far Cry 5.
Apparently that area of the country is very well known as a stay away from this area unless you're in our cult kind of zone. And now that's a thing that I know.
You know what? I think Far Cry 5 is set kind of in that area. It was in Montana, wasn't it?
It's a good game. It's a good game, by the way.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if it's, like, right.
I also have learned that apparently I don't say the word cult correctly.
You said it right, then you said it wrong again. But that's fine.
I don't know what to tell you. All right, let's rock and roll. Oh, look who decided to join the stream.
Of course.
Thanks, Chris.
He's one of our P1s.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. All right. We got to get to some stuff. It is 7:05 in the morning. You, dear friends, have got less than 55 minutes till you got to be to the office, clocked in, locked in, and ready to work. And then, of course, by work, I mean work for like 5 minutes and then take a break and go talk about sports, which means you need to know what's going on in the world of sports, which means you need this.
These are going to hurt you, sir.
Water cooler cheat sheet, top three sports stories you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports this morning. When you do, this is what you're going to be talking about. Let's dive right in to item number one. The Broncos beat the Saints last night 33-10. Item number two. Over to the Major League Baseball playoffs we go. 5-7, the Guardians make it a series now. They trail the Yankees 2-1, but a very dramatic win last night. One of those kinds of wins that feel like maybe, perhaps, perchance, it's a series-shifting W for Cleveland. Yesterday evening, bottom of the ninth, the Guardians down 3-5. The Yanks feel like they are about to push this to an elimination game number four. Hold your horses. Hold your horses, kids. The sweep is off the table because in the bottom of the ninth, the Guardians went yard and a big time blast that I actually have some really, really dope audio for you that we're going to play coming up in a little while from Jean-Kenzie Noel, who went yard with a 2-run shot in the bottom of the ninth. It tied it up and it sent it to OT. And then in the final frame, the Yanks held off the board top 10 and up comes the pinch hitter David Fry. What does he do? NBD, the same thing as Noel. A 2-run blast in the bottom of the 10th that sent the Guardians fans home happy with the dub and extends this series, not just extends it, but extends it in Cleveland with that 2-3-2 model. The Guardians have a chance to send this series back to New York City, tied up at a deuce apiece. The Guardians get a 7-5 win last night. Then the Dodgers and the Mets got after it. Ladies and gentlemen, the happy fun story of the 2024 New York Mets, I am sorry to say Jersey Joe, has come to its conclusion because the Dodgers, as I told the Mets they can't allow them to do, have gotten hot. A dozen hits last night scattered across the nine frames for the Dodgers, including a double and a dinger from Mookie Betts, who went yad in the sixth inning. Shohei Ohtani took Jose Quintana's second pitch of the night and sent it deep to right field to get the Dodgers on the board in the first inning. The Mets would equalize in that first inning because once again, Mark Vientos went yad. So you had opening frame dingers from both Shohei and Vientos, but it was all Mets after that. They put up two in the third. They put up two in the fourth. They put up two in the sixth. They put up three in the eighth. They coasted through the ninth because they didn't need to do anything else. At that point, they were up 10-2, and it would stay that way. The New York Mets now face elimination as the Dodgers hold a 3-1 series lead. Both of those series will continue today. We will have our first game at 5:08 this afternoon with the Dodgers and the Mets. Flaherty versus Peterson is your pitching matchup. The Dodgers -150 to win this contest tonight, meaning that Vegas believes that the LA Dodgers will punch their ticket to the World Series tonight. Then at 8:08 p.m., the New York Yankees are on the road at the Cleveland Guardians. New York trying to force Cleveland to the brink of elimination before they go back to New York. If Cleveland wins this game, we'll be tied at 2-2 after four, with one more to go in Cleveland. And then we will head back, if necessary, to New York City for Game 6 and 7. So there's your MLB playoffs as they stand right now. Off we go to item number 3. I think this is worth it. We're a basketball area. Virginia men's basketball coach Tony Bennett, 55 years old, set to begin his 16th season with the Virginia Cavaliers, announced yesterday, out, I'm done, I'm cooked, I want to go home. He called it a career yesterday, stepping away from the game. The two-time National Coach of the Year Award winner, the 2019 College Basketball National Champion winner, the six-time ACC regular season title winner, the two-time ACC tournament title winner, has decided he's going to step away, and he all but outright said, I don't want to deal with the portal and NIL anymore. Like, at all. During an interview with ESPN at ACC Media Day last week, when he was still the head coach of the team, he was asked if there was a perception that he could be the next Jay Wright, who famously left Villanova in his prime because he didn't want to deal with it anymore. Would he be the next Jay Wright? Bennett said, quote, I got to call Jay Wright and see what he says, right? I always have said, when you're doing this, you're in this profession, whether you agree how it's going or not, you have to be true to yourself and really look at it and say, who am I? Can I operate how I want? And can it be stressful, successful enough? And you get to choose if you want to be a part of it or not. And when you feel it's time, like Jay did, like Coach K, maybe Saban, it's their choice. And you can sit here and complain and gripe, or you have a decision to make. Either you try to do it your way or you get to make that decision. So I think Jay Wright probably foresaw where this is going. It'll be better whenever there's regulations. Is that 3 to 5 years away? Who knows? But if it's not, those are decisions that every man has to make when it's time. Basically said, I had fun. I liked it here. But I don't want to have to operate within the current landscape of college sports. I am out. And for the record, and we talked about this with Denton Day, more from a football perspective, when we talked to the host of SiriusXM's College Football Overtime on Wednesday morning, I told him, and he agreed, I think we are in an era where the visage of a successful college athletics coach is going to change. I think you are seeing, specifically in football, though I don't think basketball is terribly far behind. I think you are going to begin to see more and more head coaching positions that are filled with young, energetic, vivacious style coaches. Coaches with gas, juice, energy. And not that Tony Bennett didn't have that. I mean, my man's 55 years old, right? He ain't a grandpa. He ain't archaic. They don't have to knock dust off of him to roll him out on the sideline.
All right, I was a grandpa when I was, you know, below 50. I think you don't know when grandpas happen. I'm just saying.
Grandpa is it's just an easy way to say old.
Talking about an actual grandpa. Okay. All right.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's actually a grandpa.
All right. So,
I'm using grandpa as a way to say Jay Wright's not an old man. Or excuse me, not Jay Wright. I mean Jay Wright too, but Tony Bennett's not an old man. He's 55. He ain't old.
He's not old especially when it comes to coaching basketball.
Right. There's a lot of, but I will say this. I think you're going to see a lot fewer Bob Knights that are coaching into their 60s and 70s. You're going to see a lot fewer Roy Williams.
I mean, they make a lot of money. And when you make a lot of money and you get to a certain age, I'm guessing you probably go, you know what? This is good. I'm going to go enjoy the rest of my life.
I mean, maybe, but there's also the Bobby Bowdens and the Bear Bryants, right? Like, that's just what they do. This is just my life. This is all I know.
Yeah, but those don't happen that much anymore.
I agree. And I think because
Saban might have been one of the last
ones. I think he was. Because this is what we've talked about, coaches don't dislike the NIL and they don't dislike the portal because they're impossible to navigate. They're not. People are doing it. They dislike the portal and NIL because if you've been in the game for a very long time, Tony Bennett's been at Virginia since 2009. He was at Washington State before that, and he's been coaching college basketball for like 30 years, right?
I don't think NIL affects basketball the same way because of one and done. I mean, that's still a thing, right?
It is still a thing.
As long as that's a thing, then you basically have been dealing with that already.
I think you overestimate the number of players off of any given roster that are one and done talent. Like Virginia might have two. Virginia might any given year have two players that are one and done caliber. There's not that many. It's the only less impressive list in terms of depth are the guys who are one and done and like actually successful. Like the number of one and done players in the college basketball ranks isn't that deep. NIL's still a big deal in college basketball. The transfer portal is an even bigger deal in college basketball because think about college basketball, this perspective. It's all the power conference teams that you know and how many San Diego States and Gonzagas and St. Mary's, et cetera, that you also have kids that want to go play for because they got a chance to win a natty. The transfer portal is even more dangerous in college basketball than it is in college football. This is why I think you're going to start to see a number of these coaching positions that are filled by progressively younger cats. And when I say younger cats, I'm talking about, I think you will see sometime in the near future, you will start to see coaches in their early 30s, maybe one or two prodigies in their late 20s, because you want to set up a guy that's got that energy from the get. Because there's 90 things you got to manage now. I'm intrigued to see Tony Bennett stepping away after 15 years with the Virginia Cavaliers. When we come back, Mark Benetti is the voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, the Bits, set to kick off their 2024 season tonight at home against the Orlando Solar Bears. We'll talk to Mark Benetti, the voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, in the next segment, introduce you to the team a little bit, get you acquainted with what you're going to see on the ice this evening at the Bon Secours Wellness Arena when the Bits kick off the 2024 campaign. Mark Benetti next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. You know what else? It is indeed Friday, get down on Friday. You know what else it is? Besides the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate, besides Friday, gotta get down on Friday, it's also hockey season. My dudes, the NHL's been rolling on all week long, been spectacular, and now we got hockey right here in the Upstate, because tonight, 7:05, the puck hits the ice as the Greenville Swamp Rabbits start their 2024 campaign. New man on the bench with the visor, Kyle Mountain, taking over for Andrew Lord as the head coach. And to talk about the team, talk about the coach, talk about everything, 2024 Swamp Rabbits is the voice of the Bits, a friend of mine on and off the air, and a genuinely all-around good dude. And by the way, a freaking set of pipes on this kid singing the natty, the national anthem for the preseason game. Mark Benetti, stop being so talented. I can't keep up, pal.
There's a lot to unpack to start this off. I think this is the nicest introduction I've ever gotten in my entire life and career. And also to have opening night associated with Rebecca Black. I mean, how else do you top that to start off home opening night?
You can't. Nothing's getting us more hype on a Friday than Becky Black and some local hockey, bud. It can't be done.
No, it can't, honestly. But that's like, this is a holiday, really. Home opening night, season opening night. Two of the best nights of a hockey season, of a sports season, period. Your first home game, your first game on the same night. You really can't get any better. Oh, and by the way, Rob, it's a playoff rematch right out of the gate. So in the schedule, you get punched in the mouth with, you know, a very tough matchup on both sides of it, too. This is a talented Swamp Rabbits team, a lot of returners from Orlando, and there's a lot of unfinished business for Greenville to start off the year tonight.
Let's jump in, and I do want to break down tonight's game. Mark Benetti, voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. But let's start with the dude that's going to be holding the clipboard this year. We lose Andrew Lord, moving on, moving up in the world of coaching. We'll not be shocked to see Lordo on an NHL bench sooner rather than later. Kyle Mountain had his first year as an assistant in Greenville last year, gets promoted to the HC job. We've had Kyle on the show in the past when he got hired last year as an AC. Talk to me about the growth of Kyle Mountain during his time and what you expect out of him as a head coach, Benetti.
So this isn't his first go as a head coach. It is at the professional ranks, but he was the head coach of Newman University in NCAA Division III for 6 seasons. He was on that bench for 8, 2 as an assistant under Matt Tendler before he took over. And, you know, Mounts almost borderline immediately jumped into coaching. He finished his college career in 2015 at the University of Nebraska, Omaha, helped them to their first and, as of this moment, only Frozen Four ever in program history, and then basically jumped right on the bench with Newman, very close to where he's from in Philadelphia. So he got to stay close to home. He got to develop as a coach. This is someone who emulates a lot of Lordo in a lot of aspects, with how he manages his day-to-day, with how he prepares his guys with information. But, you know, obviously a couple of differences with respect to, you know, some styles, maybe some messaging, things like that. But someone who is more than capable, and I think you've noticed the kind of leadership that he brings to this bench with how many returners came back to the team, whether they're AHL contracted, whether they're re-signed from ECHL deals from last year. 10 players, almost all of them on the back end, with the exception of Austin Sain up front, the captain Ben Freeman up the middle. So you can't ask for anything more for Mounts. He's more than earned this. He's more than ready, and I can't wait to see what he does the first of a long 72-game season tonight.
Mark Benetti, voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, joining us here on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. You know, with a team like the Swamp Rabbits that are so closely tied to the local community, but hockey being what it is, Benetti, an international sport where you got guys coming from Europe to play here, guys that depart the team to go play there, going up to Canada, et cetera, et cetera. Getting to know these teams early in the season, to me, is as much fun sometimes as the games themselves. If I ask you to pick a couple of players that are maybe new to the team that you think the fans are going to become familiar with over the season, who would be the guys that stand out as we get set for game number one?
Well, it's, you know, it's interesting you say that, because I think there's also an acclimation to people that they already do know, who are coming off of great seasons from last year or coming off of a lot of potential that unfortunately we didn't get to see much of. I think of an Austin Sain, a guy who scores in his pro debut, comes hot out of a cannon out of Canadian college with 4 goals and 5 points in 8 games, and then he's sidelined with the season-ending injury. And, you know, it's never on one player, Rob, but I'll tell you, if this team had Austin Sain in the playoffs, maybe we're looking at a different outcome. Maybe we're looking at, you know, maybe 7 games, because Austin's the kind of guy who loves to crash. He's got a nose for the net, and I think he really could have done some serious damage leading into the playoffs and beyond that. But super happy to see him healthy. I think fans are going to love to see what he brings to the table in a full pro season. You know, Joe Leahy coming off a year as a rookie where he was the leading scoring defenseman, a big leader on the back end there, coming back for his second full pro season. As far as new players are concerned, there's a lot of synergy right now with the affiliate in Ontario in the American Hockey League. You look at a guy like Bryce Brodzinski, who's the former captain of the Minnesota Golden Gophers, tied for 2nd all-time in most games played in college history. Dryden McKay in between the pipes, 3-time Hobie Baker finalist, the 3rd goaltender in all of college history to ever win it. That's the Heisman Trophy of college hockey, for those that don't know. NCAA shutout record with 34 to his credit, and I can go on and on and on, but that just shows you early on, Rob, how deep this team is coming right out of the gate.
I am interested about the goalkeeper position here, Benetti, because it was a spot last year that I think was as up and down as I've seen in a long time. You had stretches where guys like Luke Richardson were had a very hot hand and the Bits were winning a ton of 5-1 games, and then you'd go a week later and all of a sudden they're giving up 7 and 8s in certain spots. Is consistency between the pipes a focus this year, or is it just kind of something that you go, hey, we've got the talent, let's make sure we're dialed in with it?
I think consistency across the board, regardless of position, is something that you look for, but that consistency can get thrown out of whack for a number of reasons. I mean, you obviously know Watson sports, injuries are a huge part of the game, and goalies, you know, they get hurt a lot occasionally. Knees, hips, groins, I mean, they're just nagging things that go on and on. There's also what I love to call with the ECHL, the ever-changing hockey league factor, where guys are playing musical chairs between affiliates, then there's trades, then, you know, there's call-ups, send-downs, all these different things. And it's not just even at the goaltending position. It's up front and on the back end. You could be playing a team that's depleted because of injuries. And as Lordo used to joke, they're getting pillaged by their AHL affiliate. And then on the other side, you have a team that's at full strength and you're not, for a variety of reasons. So, you know, consistency, especially in this league, it's how you approach your day-to-day. That's why Mouth is so great and he's so qualified for this. It's about the messaging and getting your guys as prepared as possible, because you don't really know who you're going to have in the lineup on a daily basis.
What is Kyle's approach to that? Well, like, are we going to see kind of classic gruff hockey coach? I know that he's been around the game for a very long time. Is this going to be a player's first mentality? What is the approach to the game from the new HC?
Well, you know, he's got really good skill up front. There's a lot of offensive skill, but Rob, I got to tell you, if I had a dollar for every time this offseason announcing a player or talking about this team, he said the word defense in their skill set or just period, I'd be a very rich man and my life would be very different right now. He is all defense. And not necessarily to say he's all defense, but he has a huge focal point on the defensive side because, you know, the cliche goes, defense wins you championships, right? As the assistant coach last year, he ran the D-core and the defensive structure of the Swamp Rabbits, and they were tied for 8th best defense in the entire league, averaging under 3 goals a game. And I want to say they were about just under a half a goal off the leading pace, which was Jacksonville. They were about 2.6 goals allowed per game. So, you know, it's something that's obviously very important. And with an ever-changing lineup, with call-ups, with send-downs, with injuries, trades, and of the like, the simplest thing to hone in on is protecting your own net, protecting your own zone. And I think you see that with some of the guys that he signed on ECHL deals, huge bodies that can skate. I think our average forward size is about 6'2", 200. Our average D size is about 6'4", 210. But these are all guys that, for their mass and their size, they can move. And in order to play defense, you got to be able to skate.
Let's play a classic word game, Mark Benetti. 3 words to describe the team this year. 3 adjectives that you would apply to this team. Give me the 3 and then walk me through why you picked them.
Intelligent, defensive, and big. The obvious one, big, like I said moments ago, our team's huge up front. We've got big centermen. We've got big defensemen. They can all move. The intelligence factor of this team is why they're so skilled. And I know I've said earlier that this is a very skilled group up front, but the intelligence, the ability to dish the puck, the ability to set up in the zone, carry through neutral ice, finish towards the net. You bring in a guy like Brent Peterson with a division rival who had the best 2-year offensive stretch of his career with 90 points and 122 games with Savannah over the last couple of seasons. The likes of a Ben Freeman who is consistent on the power play, consistent up the middle, can dish the puck, all the young skill and young intelligence that they're bringing in. And, you know, again, the defensive side of things, I mean, this is a team that you take care of your own zone, good things are going to come for you. And I think that bodes for a lot of exciting hockey coming into tonight and, quite honestly, over the next 6 months and, God willing, beyond that.
Mark Benetti, voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, joining us here on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. Got another couple of minutes here as we get set for the Swamp Rabbits taking on Orlando at 7:05 p.m. this evening. Break tonight's game down for me. I'm a big believer, Benetti, in the fact that you got to come out of the gates and establish a tone, not just for an individual game, but for the season at large. And, of course, there is, I don't want to say bad blood between Orlando and Greenville, but I know the boys from last year's roster would love to open up with a dub tonight. What's that take?
Well, it's going to take being physical right off the get-go, because you got to realize here, too, it's a unique situation, Robert. Now this is 2 years in a row. This team has a standalone game on opening weekend. Last year it was on a Saturday. This year it's tonight. But there's nothing to rest up for. It's not like you've got 3-3 this weekend or you've got to travel overnight, and even then, you're still going to play to your fullest and to your best. You're not going to hold back, right? But you have nothing to hold back for. You don't play again until next Friday. So that energy is huge. That physical element's huge, because you do have a unique situation where you have a full week between games to recover, prepare, reset, regroup. So let it all go. There's a lot of energy. Of course, don't force anything, right? But, you know, at the same time, don't hold back either. So I think that's the biggest thing for this team. And it's also understanding, too, there's a handful of gentlemen in this lineup making their professional debuts tonight. It's an exciting time. So play off of that energy, too, because you only get one professional debut. So enjoy that. Play with energy, but play hard, too, because, again, you've got nothing to rest for. Orlando's got to get on a bus tonight and play in Charleston tomorrow. So they're the ones that have a heavy week with travel. They're on the road. But for you, you get to sleep in your own bed the next 7 days. So let it all out and have some fun.
Mark Benetti is the voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits. He'll be on the call this evening at 7:05 when the puck hits the ice and the Greenville Swamp Rabbits take on the Orlando Solar Bears to get this season underway. Benetti, my man, good dude. By the way, really? Like, you just being a great play-by-play guy wasn't enough. You had to sound like you were in concert singing the national anthem the other night.
You know, it's funny. I was talking about it with staff that they had no clue. We were obviously doing our game operations run through for Alexis Eckerson and her production staff, getting used to certain elements and whatnot. And believe it or not, Rob, it's not my first time having done that. I'm the emergency backup singer, I guess, for places I've been at. Very similar to an emergency backup goaltender, except nothing related to actually playing the game. But we've never lost in regulation anytime I've had to step in on a different microphone. So I'm not saying, you know, there's a direct correlation here, but if it looks like a duck, and quacks like a duck.
Listen, I'm going to tell Mountain, if things start getting squirrely for the boys and he finds the first two natty singers locked up in a closet one day, it's not me, is all I'm saying. Mark Benetti, voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, again on the call tonight, 7:05 puck drop, as the Swamp Rabbits host the Orlando Solar Bears to begin the 2024 campaign. Benetti, my man, always great to have you. Have a great call. I'll see you at the well tonight, partner.
Yes, sir. You got it. Enjoy the moment tonight. It's a great night to get things started off.
Dude, opening night hockey is the best. Mark Benetti, voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. We're back right after this. The Rob Brown Show continues. It's the Fan Upstate, and drop the beat. This is, let's roll for 2 seconds. This, though, perfect hockey song. Perfect hockey hype song. A little bit of the buildup, drop the beat, but it's not like, it's not overwhelming, right? Like, you just stay right here locked in. Hockey's about being locked in for long runs, long stretches of time. Baseball, you need jolts of energy, right? Because you got bang, big moment, and then it kind of dies off, and you got to sustain that. So when you go baseball hype, you gotta have some juice, some gas, some energy, some electricity running through you. Hockey, it's more like long runs with short breaks tossed in there. So it's more about keeping that flow where it is. This is a great hockey banger. Great hockey banger. And by the way, somebody asked, why the Solar Bears? Well, because they're in Florida. And their logo is a polar bear, but they're in Florida, the Sunshine State. So you take the polar bears, you turn them into the Solar Bears. Get it? Get it? It's a great name. Honestly, it's my favorite hockey name.
I really do enjoy that name.
It is. It's a great mascot. Their mascot, though, is a polar bear, but he's got on the old, like, Miami wraparound shades, and their colors are, you know, they were like neon pinks and blues and stuff. It's a great vibe all the way around, right? You got teams like the Jacksonville Icemen. Wildly creative. Now, granted, it's because back in the day, before we had freezers and whatnot, and you had to buy like big ice blocks, right? When they shipped those ice blocks into Florida, they came into the port of Jacksonville. And so the guys that handled the ice were Icemen. So they're like, it's boring. That's dumb. You have the
I do love how people, and I'm not really cracking, I know it's going to sound like the powers that be that come up with these names, they do all this research about the area and stuff. In the end, I don't think people care as long as it's cool looking. I mean, you know, I maybe you need the historical part so you can get the historical money. Maybe that's what it is. But in the end, if you look and go, that's a banana. I like that.
I am big on local teams having local ties in the name, right? Like, I can't tell you how many times I have explained the Swamp Rabbit name, right? Oh, well, there's Swamp because of the Swamp Rabbit Trail, but it used to be a train track, and it was a Swamp Rabbit Express, and it rolled through this area, and, you know, Traveler's Rest is there because that's a stop that's halfway from Atlanta to Charlotte. That's where the train stopped.
But if you're trying to get your kid into hockey, you don't need to tell the kid all that. The kid needs to look and go, hey, that's a rabbit. That's a cool – I like that.
You know, and I think you opened it up with a nice local crossover, but also – you know, it is a tangible mascot. It is something you can look at. What's an Iceman? Yeah. So I got some 1910s dock worker. That's my mascot. That's what I'm supposed to get hyped about.
Do they have cool mustaches?
No. Like, here's the thing. Their mascot
it's not
is
like Daniel Day-Lewis.
Their mascot's an Eskimo. It's just an Eskimo. It's okay. The most generic old. Right. It's just an Eskimo. Like, I've been to Jacksonville. It sucks a lot. I routinely refer to it as the butthole of America. And I can say this because I've done the research. I live there. There's no Eskimos. It's one of the second worst ones behind the Utah Jazz.
Do kids look at the Eskimo thing and like it, though?
For the record, and this is going to be one of the spots, I had this conversation last night. As a matter of fact, I was talking wrestling with a buddy where I said, you know, and this is a take that I don't know why it gets people up in arms. Not everything has to be for the kids, all right? I don't have to design everything in my world around the kids.
Here's what you do. The reason why you design it for the kids because the kids want to come, they bring the parents. Also, those kids now have become lifelong fans and they tell their kids about it. It's a generational thing. You get the kids, you get the adults. That's just how it works. It's good marketing.
No. I mean, listen, I want the kids there.
Just because you're anti-kid doesn't mean that the marketplace does not work that way.
No. I'm not anti-kid. What I am anti-
They should not show Paul Feinbaum just his head. They should not do that.
I'm not going to crack on it, but yeah, you're right. I'm not anti-kid. What I am is anti, I got to be second consideration behind your kid in every situation. No. See, I'm coming and I'm buying beer, like a lot of it. That kid's buying a ticket and a hot dog. I'm coming and buying a whole bunch of beer. All right. Make it fun.
That kid's
for
not
me.
Buying anything. His parents are.
Exactly. And you know who else is? Me. I am here too. All right, it's a dumb mascot, the Eskimo.
You're right. The two part is really what it comes down to. You are secondary. You want it as a. If
that's
you,
what every if, parent believes, and I'm sick
no,
of it.
No, you can say that, but from a marketing standpoint, if I can get a family of four, or I can get you, I want the family of four. You know why? That's four of you.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that kid's putting down the amount that I put down in beers at a hockey game?
His mom and dad may go, "Wow, my kid really likes that jersey. Let me pay $150 for
it." You know who else does that? Me!
Do you?
Yes! I have five of them!
Do you, Rob?
Yes! Do you all right, not me having to pay for them, but you get it.
Do you
get it. If I was a regular person, I would. That's my point. The Iceman's a dumb name, all right? And also, they're from Jacksonville. They could have the coolest name in the world. It's a dumb name. It's a dumb name. All right. Texter says, Rob's right about the butthole of America. I know! I was there. I loved it. It's the worst place. It's the worst place.
I'm guessing I might go there and actually like it.
You won't. There's nothing to like. The only nice place is Jacksonville Beach, and the only reason Jack's Beach is fun is because they have a bunch of great bars. That's it. They have a beach and a bar on it. That's their whole thing.
Do children like Jacksonville Beach?
I would assume if they like sitting on a beach, then sure. But
did they annoy you? Did it get in your way? Did you have to worry about stepping on them as you were going for the ocean?
Let me give you a take. Last weekend, we went out to a local brewery on a Saturday. Just hang out. Got done with Bet for the Cycle. Wanted to go out, get out in the sunshine a little bit, get a little public FaceTime. We went to a local brewery. And I was sitting at a table talking to a couple of friends. And I had the audacity to say the A word sitting at a table talking to my friends. And not even like Rob Brown loud talking. Like genuinely just having a quiet conversation at the table. Really? All right. Yes.
Your quiet is still like 5 dB above everyone else's.
When I am being cognizant of other people around me enjoying a particular atmosphere, yes, I'm a jerk, but I'm going to stay out of your good time. When I was chastised by a lady because her not probably 2-year-old kid might have heard me say the bad word in a brewery. It's a brewery.
So does it say when you walk in the brewery, it's okay to use curse words?
It's a bar. That's how adults talk.
Do they serve food? That's how 12-year-olds talk. Do they serve food?
Yes. All of you out there who use naughty language, you 12-year-olds.
Listen, I sound like my dad. I hope he doesn't come home and beat me.
It's just me. It's just me and Meathead McAfee out here.
Yeah. Okay, dude. The thing is,
you're in a bar.
There are also people who don't curse and don't like it.
If you take your kids to a place that is designed around adults drinking alcohol, don't try to tell us how to operate for your 2-year-old sanity.
So what you're saying is,
take them to a Chuck E. Cheese.
They should have a sign at the door saying "No kids allowed." Or did you not pick a place that said "No kids allowed"?
No. Totally fine with your kid being there. Honestly, I'm totally fine with the kid being there until you start telling me how I'm gonna act around your kid. That's when we have the problem. Not that your kid's there. I don't care. I'm good with it. In fact, if your kid's running around having a good time, there's a good chance I'm getting involved. There's a good chance I'm like, yo, I'll play Connect Four with that kid. Let's go. I'm all in. Kid, I'm about to ruin you. All right?
Also, you have, we've talked about this many times. Remember who you are. Remember who you represent. Remember that, causing a scene or something could cause you a lot more than just a bad time.
I didn't tell the lady what I wanted to tell her about where she could stick it. All right. I was like, I understand, ma'am. We are in a brewery. I was very polite about it. All right. If I go to the Chuck E. Cheese,
so
I'm not dropping.
You pointed out it was a brewery.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
In case she was lost and thought it was a Chuck E. Cheese.
I'm glad it didn't escalate further because I'd be talking to somebody else across from me.
I mean, again, if you are going to come into a brewery, you are going to hear adults use adult language.
Remember
if that
who
makes
you are, and remember what you represent, and remember that
I didn't
cause
fight
a scene,
the lady.
You could, yeah, but you got snippy. You just said,
100%. I did.
Yeah, well,
100%. I did.
Saying, I don't
You're
know if
not,
I brought this up. If I were you,
if you bring, I don't care.
You should.
I don't care. Yeah. If you bring your kid into an adult landscape, if I'm at a bar watching football and my team screws up, and I go, "What the hell?" And you go, not around my kid, please. Well, then remove your kid, not me.
Is there a place where I can look it up to find out what an adult landscape is so I would know exactly where that is?
Yeah, any place whose primary function is adults drinking alcohol
to
enjoy themselves.
Do people come there to eat food?
I don't care.
If they do, then it's not their primary
function.
Go to
Olive Garden.
That's what bars are. Breweries, generally, from what I understand, serve food.
Yes,
and that makes them a food place.
Right, for sure. That's why we call them food places that also make beer. No. We call them breweries because what does a brewery do? Brewery beer.
No,
it's a beer place that has food.
Obviously, they serve food, but they also brew the beer on location. So
it is a brewery. The primary function is a brewery, is to brew beer. If the primary function was to serve food, they'd call it a restaurant that also brews beer.
This just sounds like a lot of saints' anger. So
it absolutely is. It absolutely is. Sports flash. God! I was doing so good.
The Cleveland Guardians beat the Yankees last night 7-5 in 10 innings. The Guardians racked up 11 hits, including the bottom of the 10th two-run home run by pinch hitter David Fry. The series resumes today in Cleveland at 8:08. That's also tonight. The LA Dodgers have made Game 5 an elimination game, taking a 3-1 NLCS lead over the New York Mets. With a 10-2 win in New York, the Dodgers stacked up a dozen hits in the game, including home runs from Mookie Betts and Shohei Ohtani. The series has one more game in New York tonight at 5:08. In case you didn't notice, the Denver Broncos embarrassed the New Orleans Saints last night in New Orleans, 33-10. If you lose that much to the Broncos, you probably should be embarrassed. Tune in tonight at 7 p.m. as the Burns Rebels head to Eastside to take on the Eagles. It's Burns versus Eastside right here on your home for Burns Rebels football. It is us. It is right here. It's what you're listening to, the Fan Upstate.